You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 281 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Monday. It's Kyle and Ben back again, ready to get your week started. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the RBC Heritage, and then we're going to talk, have some member guest recap, possible controversy, some confrontations. I made a lot of enemies this weekend, apparently. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get started, tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country, in the world, possibly. Sign up today. Use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your initial deposit. There's really no reason to do it. Baseball season is right. Getting kicked off, getting fired up. You can bet baseball every single day. Yes. Pick you two pitchers, and when they play on the same day, parlay them. Let's go. That's the system. Pick you some winning pitchers and just go with it. There's all other kind of stuff that you can bet on. Basketball, NBA basketball. A lot of stuff, online casino, so many things you can do. And the good thing is you got to put your money in so you don't get stuck with a bookie, you know, think chasing it like you're going to hit that. You're going to double up and break even. No, you deposit your money in, and when it's gone, it's gone. You can either redeposit or you can just take the L and move on. Otherwise, you can have a lot of fun. So BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Ben, a lot of times the RBC Heritage, I feel like, is the forgotten tournament because it's always the week right after the Masters. And I think whoever won, I think there had to be a bidding war from these tournaments on who would be considered an elevated event, because they benefited greatly, because like I said, I just feel like even though it's a great tournament, it's a short drive in general from Augusta to where is it? It's a Harbortown. It's right outside of it's between Savannah and Charleston, right? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, I've forgotten exactly where it is. I know that Scott Stallings got a ticket going in after the Masters.
Really, really.
Yeah.
Well,
and he said his Masters badge does not carry very far once you enter into South Carolina territory.
Yeah, so it's a forgotten tournament that ended up being, yes, Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Ended up being an awesome finish and a pretty slammed leaderboard with top names. For those that don't know, it came down to a playoff, Matthew Fitzpatrick versus Jordan Spieth. They went three holes, I think, and Matthew Fitzpatrick was about three dimples away from a walk-off two, which would have been electric on 18. I'm not going to bore you like going through all the details. I mean, it was action packed. A lot of birdies there towards the end, but I think the biggest takeaway, I think so far of the elevated events, this one was big. This one was the best one. And I think the PGA Tour really needed it.
This is the one that had me hooked on a Sunday watching.
Yeah. There you go.
So you got that going for it. And the rest of them haven't. You know, we've run down storylines. I mean, when you look at the, you know, Century Tournament of Champions, that's in Hawaii. So, I mean,
I don't even remember that tournament happened.
5 hours behind us. Waste Management, let's just be honest. I mean, Scotty won it, but I told you, if 16 is not at the Waste Management Open, do we really care who won? Like, we're watching it to see the par 3 16th. Dell Match Play, we got our letdown, didn't get our final group like we wanted, had all the ability to be electric, to have Scotty and Rory, and then they both faltered and did not play in the final group.
If that would have happened, it would have definitely been.
Yeah, probably.
If that would have happened, it would have been the top, because it could have been. I mean, it could have been Rory and Scheffler going head to head.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge missed opportunity there.
And then Arnold Palmer, I had to ask you who won it. You told me Kurt Kitayama. I, for some reason, had no idea that that's who won it, even though it was Arnold Palmer. And then the Genesis, I mean, I told you the biggest moment was JT and Tiger smiling at one another after all three. Tiger, JT, and Rory all made birdie on 18.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the climax of the tournament. And that was on day two. So
exactly.
I mean, this is the one that kind of took you, I would say, start to finish. It didn't, because Jimmy Walker was leading on Thursday, and then Friday he didn't move quite as much, and then Saturday he completely fell off the leaderboard on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, yeah, what happened? Like, he was way up there, and then all of a sudden he
had back-to-back 65s. Which is not, that's not too bad. That's not too bad of a weekend to take you into a Saturday back-to-back 65. So, then he fell back, but then Sunday just proved to be, there were probably five guys in contention all day on Sunday, and Jordan and Fitzy really came from behind. Jordan made a move early and, finished four under on the front, or five under on the front. So, he's the one that made the move, and then Fitzy made the move on the back, and ended up tying him. And then, as you said, almost with a walk-off, not to mention Jordan's history there. He's won a couple of times.
He won last year.
He won last year. I did like what somebody said during the broadcast. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Trevor Immelman that said it. Said if he wins back-to-back years, do they get to fire the cannon twice? Because that's the place where they fire the cannon and out to, in, into the water.
Whenever that's
they,
cool.
Tee off, that he has to wear his jacket and hit a driver into the water the exact same time the cannon fires. And
so you have tee up too. Yeah, tee up too. Dang.
That's what he was asking. He said, do they make him, if he wins back to back years, do they fire the cannon twice and you got to hit it twice? And they were like,
Now I'm sad. It didn't happen. I felt like the broadcast that they were really kind of labeling this as Jordan giving it away. And my thing is, first of all,
He wasn't in the lead. He came from behind to tie it on the front nine.
He had two chances to win, but both opportunities were like 12 foot or greater putts. Like, it wasn't like he missed two kick-ins, and one of them went down and came out. Like, he missed, and then the second one he just didn't have enough on it, and it just like died right across the hole. So.
If they're going to say that, then why didn't they say that about Fitz on 17 when he missed a 7-footer for birdie that would have put him in the lead going into 18 in regulation?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's it seemed like they were really playing that up, but it was great. And whoever, I think it was Dot, maybe Dottie said, if you keep giving Fitzpatrick chances, he's going to do something.
Yeah,
electric, and he did. He did. He fired one in on 18. I honestly thought it was going in. I was like, oh my God, I'm watching this live. It's about to happen.
He's about to hole out. I did like what Jim Nantz said too. The nine irons become the favorite club in his bag. That's what he won the U.S. Open with. That's what he hit out of the bunker, to get close on 18, that iced it. And then of course, that's what he hit going into 18, here this weekend. So I liked it. I mean, I'm glad Rom played. He said his quote was, he hasn't received an ovation like that since he returned back to Spain and played. And so apparently 18, the crowd just treated him like royalty, being the Masters champion and playing in the event, which is good. Give me John Rahm on camera too, any day from the booth. He was absolutely awesome, even though he kept labeling himself that he was not good at this. He didn't know why he was here. And I was like, he gave more insight to the golf course than any analyst could have ever given. He was telling him he pulled a, not as of late, but that first year that Tony Romo was in the booth where he was basically calling plays. That's what John Rahm was doing. He was like, can't go here, can't go here. If he goes here, he's dead. He goes here, he's dead. This is what he needs to do. And of course, he'd do it. And he goes, that's exactly what he needed to do. That's, you know, he was fantastic. Give me John Rahm when he retires, give me John Rahm in the booth. The accent,
it's going to be a while, bud.
Yeah, it's going to be
about 25 years, probably somewhere around
that. But he was fantastic. Loved it.
So I can't believe this is still a thing. Maybe you saw this, but mashed potatoes. Why do we still yell this when a golfer hits a drive? Like that, that is the most old, overplayed, and some drunk dude was really excited about it. And did you see when he hollered it in Spieth's backswing I think it was like on 15. It's just why do we still do that? Why are we still doing it? It sounds like the same damn guy every single time too. I don't know why. It's like
this
one
guy's
dude,
going tournament to tournament, tournament and he's tournament, doing it. Yeah.
Sounds the same guy every time the camera catches it. Mashed potatoes. But he got a little quick on the trigger. So I don't think it necessarily affected Spieth's swing. He did kind of block it out right, but
yeah,
he didn't like turn around, and they didn't try to like throw the guy out or whatever. But don't
it's
do that
still,
at
it's
golf.
Old.
It's so dumb. It's so
the mashed
it's not.
potatoes. The getting the hole on a par four. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
they're not
maybe
driving
on a
the green.
Putt. Maybe on a putt. That's cool.
A putt, I'm fine. But I'm talking about when they tee off on a par four.
Yeah.
Or they tee off on a par five, it's even worse. Get in the hole. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Let me tell you what I do get, and that is how awesome these bad birdie polos and hats are that we are working with right now. You guys got to say, I had somebody ask me, hey, man, how can I get one of those polos today? And I told them, I was like, hey, go to Bad Birdie, use coupon code DAD15. Get as many as you want. Take 15% off. So already incredible savings comparative to other like golf polos out there.
Yes.
And then you get to take another 15% off, and you get the material feels great. The prints look great. The fit is great. It's not like baggy and hangs from you. It's a little bit more athletic cut. I mean, they just feel good. They feel good and they look good. So, I suggest you check them out. Their stuff goes fast. You download the app. You can get notifications
yes.
when they do new
Get
drops. They just had a new drop this past weekend. Or I think it was on Friday, and I got the boom, the notification, on like three new polos they dropped. So, definitely want to check those guys out. Super, super duper cool stuff. So Bad Birdie, it's where fashion starts. How
new
about
drops. That? Go get the magic leaves. I'm looking at it right now. That's one of the new drops that just hit this weekend.
Yeah, the one that was like the Italian something. Do you see that one?
That magic leaves is pretty pimp.
The one I was talking about is called the Italian checkerboard. It looks pretty sweet. I like
think
it.
That's at the top too. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway,
yes,
all right.
The Italian checkerboard. Yes, that is.
All right, moving on. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
So this weekend,
this is all new to me too. By the way, this is something that he would not cover in show prep. He wanted to get my natural reaction. So usually he and I will talk before we come on, and we'll kind of do a rundown and outline of what we're going to talk about. I was not allowed. I was not privy to this information, by the way.
So,
and by the way, since Kyle wasn't in the shootout, I did not go to the course to watch him today. That's the only reason I was going is if he'd made the shootout.
Yeah, we didn't make the shootout. We didn't play. We didn't play terrible, but we didn't play like great to win. We were right there in every single match, but we finished 1-2-2, so we had two ties. If I'm sure a lot of you play in member guests or played in formats like this, but it's a 9-hole match play, and you accrue points. So just because let's say you beat somebody. It's 5-4. Okay. You got to keep going because a win on a hole is a point. Like you want to try to beat somebody 9-0. Okay. Because points carry and they accumulate. So like, for example, if you win the first match, you get a point for a win and a half for a half, and then you get nothing. Obviously if you lose. So, if you win the first match, by one shot, that's you get six, you get, and then if you win the match, you get an additional point. So there's 10 points up for grabs on each match. So the point of the story is, even if you're winning, okay, you want to keep the hammer down. Like it's not like you just let up and you shake hands after the match. No, you play the full 9 holes out. So like there's been times where we've closed a match out been 3-4 up with 3 to play. And you lose 2 of the next 3, and you've lost. You see what I'm saying? You lost some of the points that you could have had.
Totally get it.
Because they add them all up at the end, and then whoever has the most points in each flight goes to the shootout. And the shootout's super electric. If y'all don't do a shootout, you're not doing it right. So
it is electric.
I'm
not even a member there, and it's electric. I go and I watch it. So there you go.
So I'm gonna. This is like I am a very peaceful guy. Like it. I don't. Fight I love and I don't have a lot of I don't feel like I have a lot of enemies, but there was a little bit of controversy. The one win we did have, there was some controversy, and we came right out of the gate and we were up 3 through 4 holes just doing them. Like I chipped in for birdie, really made him mad. here's a sidebar. Okay. Chip ins happen. Long putts happen. That doesn't mean like this, the golf gods are against you. Like that's golf. Like stuff like that, it's going to happen. So when you get back in the bar after, you're like, you're not going to believe this. So-and-so chipped in. Like it's like, it shouldn't have happened against you. Like, just it, stuff like that happens. Like Ben chips in on me, has chipped in on me before. I've made long putts. I made a hole in one time. I mean, that stuff like that happens in golf. Like, but when it's match play and there's a chip in or something like that, people act like you didn't deserve it or something like that. Like you didn't deserve to have that to win that hole. Anyway, that I heard that a lot this weekend. And it's super dumb. It's super dumb. Yeah. Like just take it and move on. But anyway, so we're up three.
Oh, respond. The one time I chipped in on you, then you ran a birdie in right on top of it to tie me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're up three through three. We're up by three through four holes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think we tied the fifth hole. So we come down, we got four holes left. Okay. We lose six. They hole out from a bunker. We lose six. Okay. We tie on.
But you weren't bitching about that, were you? Well, that's part
no,
of
it. No.
Right.
We tie on. I'm sorry. We're up three through four. We lost the fifth hole. Okay. We tie the sixth hole. We lose the seventh hole. So we went from three up through four to now we're only one up with two to play. Okay.
Right.
So it's a short par four. I hit a great drive. I just come off of a terrible, terrible bogey on a par five. I was sitting right by the green, dumped it, like just dumped the chip. It was awful. I was ready to break everything. And you know, because of the format, you right. gotta, and we're trying to gain ground. You got to keep the pedal down. You got to keep getting points. So picture this. You're up one with two to play. I hit a great drive. Their better player hits a good drive down there as well. I'm right by – it's a short par four. I'm right by the green. He throws one up there to probably, I don't know, let's just say 20 feet, okay? And I kind of – I didn't totally flub it, but I didn't hit it nearly as far as I needed to. And it just barely got over the bunker and was hung up on the fringe. So I'm mad. Okay, I'm really mad. Like, if you par it, you close them out. So I'm mad. So I just turn around and threw my club, like as pretty much as far as I could. Like just once, it wasn't near anyone. It wasn't in reaction to a shot that they made. It was a reaction to I'm giving this match away. Like I'm absolutely melting down right now. So I turn around and threw my club, and I was fine. And that was it. So
I've witnessed this, by the way, y'all. Yeah. This happens.
so then I get up and then I hit a terrible putt and leave it like 15 feet short. So I'm like ready to blow. Like my head is ready to blow. He puts his up there to a gimme range. It's a par. I got a 15 footer. I'm like steaming. I get behind it. I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. And then I just jarred it for par. So that sealed the match. That seals the match. The one guy just could not. It all boils down to he lost, but he wouldn't stop talking about the club throw. Like he would not stop talking about it. Like you throw a club, don't forget your club, or I can't believe you made that putt after the club throw. Like just kept club throw. Then we go to a par three.
Where you are on the course at this point, too. Yeah. Like, listen, you describe it, I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, they still have the tee box, so it's a par three. They can still have this. Like, yeah, it's only one. They can still have this match, which would have proved very beneficial for them. But he can't stop talking about the club throw. So they get up there on the par three, and both of them yank their it's a very short par three, and if you miss left, it drops off a big hill. It's pretty much dead. Mm-hmm. They both miss the green left.
What was it playing today?
It was like 145 yards. So
that was the opener from the whites?
Yeah. It was not a long shot.
All right.
My partner hits in the middle of the green, and then which is he's probably got, 25 feet for birdie. Mm-hmm. I hit mine long, but on the green. And as we're driving, he's still, all I can hear is club throw, club throw, club throw in from the other cart. So, we get up on the, and I'm just thinking, I think he's kind of joking, cause it hasn't really set in that he's very mad, that he just got beat. But anyway,
Oh, so you're still under the impression that he's kidding around. You don't know that he's pissed about this.
I don't even know that there's an issue yet. I don't really know there's an issue yet. So
this makes it even better.
Yeah. So we're on the green. We're on the green. We're waiting for them to chip up. Both of them. It's impossible. They're dead. So and the pins on they're short sided and they're hitting up. Let's just say 12 feet. It's a 12 foot elevation.
Oh, it's probably more than that, man. It's
let's just say 12, 15 feet of elevation.
You can't see where the hole you got to walk up to see where the hole is. I mean, you can see the top of the pin, but that's it.
So they both go way past. So they have 40 footers coming back. So they putt, neither one of them make it. So then it's my putt, and I roll it down there to about, 3 or 4 feet. It was I had 35-ish footer downhill, kind of whatever. And my partner putts his, and he's got about the same distance. But I felt like I was a little bit out, and I really wanted to putt first because I wanted to go ahead and end it. And then I made it, okay. And I'm still not thinking there's a problem, okay. So we go to shake hands. I take my hat off. I go to shake the guy's hand, dap him up, and he goes, "Don't ever effing throw a club when you're beating somebody's ass again." Like he's my dad. That was the exact words. "Don't ever effing throw a club when you're beating someone's ass," is what he said. And I said, "Beating your ass?" I said, "I just had to make a 15 footer to tie you on the last hole." I said, "Have you never played this format before? Like, I got to beat you by as many points as I possibly can to win this flight." And he just kept out of character. That shows no character or something, like just going in and out. So finally I was like, "Look, man, here's what you got to do. You got to take this L and move on. You got to just take this L and move on." And I walked to the cart, and then his partner was very embarrassed, super nice guy. And he came and shook my hand. But later, I mean, that guy holed out from a bunker. Okay.
Yeah.
So and I had chipped in earlier. So it was like, the golf got, and I noticed, and then as I'm done, as it sinks in, I'm listening, I go back and playing through the round, and it's just, the golf gods are just against us in this. We're just not destined to win this one. I'm like, "You were down 3 through 4 holes. You were not destined to win this one because you weren't playing well."
Yeah.
You had a hole out from a bunker to a short sided pin to even be in the match. So when I got back, I was so heated, so mad. But they had kind of started telling people too. So word got around and people were laughing because it's like Kyle got in an argument and, and that doesn't necessarily ever happen.
Kyle's drunk. He wants to fight.
Yeah. I don't really want to fight. I don't want to fight anybody, but, yeah, dude, he was going, and my partner is my dad, who really almost got, he said, "If he says club throw one more time, we're going to have an issue."
That was my next question. How was your father acting during all this?
Yeah, well, I mean, this guy was acting like he was my father. So he was trying to give me lessons on, you shouldn't throw clubs. Like I get it. Okay. I shouldn't throw a club. But the thing is, I wasn't throwing it in reaction to something they did. Like if you do something good, I'm not going to be like, F, and I'm throwing stuff, whatever. Like if you make a great, they hold out from the bunker, I'm going to say
it's
a great shot.
It's a great shot.
Unbelievable. One of the best bunker shots you can hit on that course. Stuff like that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when the things I can control, I start, melting. And that's what I was doing. I was absolutely melting. I was just starting to choke. And that's what makes me mad, because I hate that feeling. And when I did that and kind of flubbed it over, I just turned around and slung it. And I'm saying I threw that club further than I can hit the ball with that club. Let's just say that. It was
wow.
I got some, it was like perfect. You know, there's this, I don't know who the brand is, but there's a logo of now where there's these patches where the guys, you can see him. It's like emulating the PGA Tour swing guy, but he's throwing a club. Like, it was perfect for him.
You know what that picture is, don't you?
No. Is that when Rory, that's Rory, is that Rory throwing it into the water on?
Yes.
Well, it had that type of form. I get it. And I said, like, look, I was mad at y'all, clearly. Like, if you think that, you're dumb. Like, you didn't just watch me play the last three holes. Like, I was struggling and I had a chance to close it out and I was choking. And that's what I did. I turned, but that has to hurt. I can't imagine how much that hurts to see a guy throw a club and then jar one to essentially seal the match. Like, when you think he's lost it, he's done, we're back in this, and then that happens. It just absolutely.
I don't know. That kind of stuff just doesn't bother me. Like, I don't know. I've been with you when you've thrown clubs. I mean, one of my other good friends, Bobby, that I play with, I've been with him when he –
I've been with Bobby when he's throwing.
Yes. You've been with Bobby when he should have thrown the whole damn bag in the creek and didn't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I just – when people do that, I mean, one of the last few times that Kyle and I played, I forgot it's on that same stretch of holes. It was that – after that par three, it was the next par four. It was 15. And Kyle loved to chip, and I turned around and there's a helicopter going into the bushes, and somebody that was playing with us said he just threw his club. I was like, well, it took him long enough because he had screwed up like the previous three holes.
Yeah, exactly. That's so, when the drink
so
is out.
So then while we're up there putting out, Kyle's like trudging through the woods trying to find his wedge that he threw it. So
it makes me feel better. I don't know
why. That's the thing. I don't think anything of it. The only time I think anything of it is somebody throws like a club like towards me in the cart because they're mad. That's happened before.
You have to be a responsible club thrower.
Right.
Like, you can't just be a negligent club thrower. You have to make sure that no one can possibly be around. You know,
that's the only time I've been pissed is when somebody threw it and it like hit the windshield of the cart. And I was like, hey, like,
we got to chill out.
Yeah, you throw your whole damn bag that way. Don't throw it at me. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think club throws are funny. When it's not me, I like them. I laugh at them every single time. Nate will recoil a driver and sling it, it's the greatest thing in the world. Like, it's like joyous to watch.
It is.
So I like club throws. I think club throws are good for golf. How about
his
that?
Club throws are better because they're never very good. Like, the emotions get the best of him. And one he's throwing in front of me, he usually sticks it in the dirt. He like stubs it. Like, he doesn't do it. It's not a good release.
Yeah, have you seen a driver throw yet?
Yeah, that's the driver and the last couple times I played with him, it's been driver and usually like wedge where he's like duffed the wedge because he didn't get mad at me, but it was one of those things where after he did it and he threw his club, I was like, well, you're still going to have to get that same club. You need to go get it because that's
it didn't go anywhere,
so you got to hit it again.
Yeah, you didn't give it time to like, give it time to get all out, all the way out. But but yeah, I had some, and then you know, the very first match we played ended in a tie, and like, we probably shouldn't have tied. Like, I'm just gonna, like, we played bad enough that we probably shouldn't tied. I had another chip in for birdie. I had two chip ins this week,
weekend,
and I made two or three pretty sizable birdie putts. But one of the chip ins was against them. And then we had one more hole to play and I made a very long putt. I say probably a 10-foot putt to tie that hole too. So like, as long as you can in match play, as long as you're yep. in the hole, like, if you can just scramble your butt off and you can get halves when you probably shouldn't. And you can also give up halves when you probably shouldn't because things happen in golf. But like, it's funny to listen to people that I guess just don't play it a lot or play in these formats a lot. And they just act like, you know, that when that stuff happens, it's just like it shouldn't happen. Like, you just shouldn't make birdies when you're playing against me. Like,
see, which is funny because I'm just the opposite. I love match play. I love
it's the greatest.
I love that format. I love playing against my buddies doing that format because that way I don't have to really keep score except for that hole. Like, I don't care if I shoot. It doesn't matter if I shoot 50 on 9. Doesn't matter. Yeah. I can still win money because I won certain holes and then had triples on every other hole. Like, it doesn't matter. And there are times where I've used it to my favor, where after you play 3 or 4 holes and nothing's happened to go your way, I'll look at my partner. I've done this to you before. I looked at you and I'm like, we're due. We're due for a chip in. We're due for a 60-foot bomb. We're due for a bunker that we can throw up there to within a couple of inches to put pressure on. Like, we're due for something because that happens in match play. Every single time.
Yeah, exactly.
And but apparently these guys didn't know that.
And there was a match. So that was a match that we probably should have lost that we have. And then the very next match, I missed probably 3 or 4 putts inside 6 feet. I missed 3 putts inside 6 feet that would have won all 3 holes. But you can't do, you can't pick. That's another thing. You can't pick out the things in golf that could have gone better that and use that as like, man, if I would have just done that, this would happen. But it's like, okay, what if you didn't make that? What if you didn't hit that drive on the green 3 holes ago? Or what if you didn't do that? Like, you get what I'm saying? My Blake Brewer, friend of the show, this is like gut wrenching. Okay. This is gut wrenching, but this was the greatest mindset in match play. And it came from Blake Brewer, believe it or not. But he goes, he had a 4-foot putt to win a hole on the very last hole, and they would have won their flight, and he missed it. And he said, and it really bummed him out. He's like, we have the hole. They lost the flight by 0.5 point. So it would have tied, that would have tied the flight, and they would have won the playoff because I think they won their match. But he said, but you know what? I mean, I made a 30 footer for birdie 3 holes prior. So like, what can I say? You know what I mean? Like, I can be mad that, you know, I bogeyed a hole when I shouldn't have bogeyed it and cost us a hole. But hey, you chipped in twice this weekend. Yep. You chipped in twice. You putted your balls off except for 3 putts. You had 3 bad putts like throughout the, you know, essentially throughout the whole weekend. It's just, it is what it is.
That's my philosophy. I mean, I'm a Brewer on this. I mean, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm that way no matter what the sport is. When everybody's like, oh, well, they cost them a game at the end of the game, I'm like, well, they also went in basketball, they went 5 for 5 from 3 in the first half. That shouldn't have happened. So, you know, it's always, nothing's ever lost at the end, and nothing's ever like, it can be won at the end, but I don't think the loser or opposing team or opposing player needs to think, oh, well, you know, it's like today. I mean, it's the same thing with golf today with Fitzpatrick and Spieth. They keep blaming on Spieth, and I told you, Fitzpatrick missed a 7-footer on 17.
Yeah.
He hits that. We don't go to a playoff. Like,
Spieth could be – the scenario of Spieth could be like, I can't believe I missed that. I threw it away and when I missed that 12 or 13-footer in the playoff to win. I missed that.
Yeah.
I blew it. It's like, bro, you shot 500 today to even get in the playoff. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you played – like, you can't pick and choose.
Right.
You got to take the whole body of work when you're looking at it. Like, maybe
you just take a look at all the negatives that happened against you and go, well, if that and that and that and that didn't happen, it's like, okay, well, if this, this, and this didn't happen, you wouldn't be there either.
It wouldn't have even been remotely a part of a conversation. But anyway, that is the greatest format for a tournament that there is. I mean, it 9-hole matches. Accumulate points. We have 5 matches. It's just spectacular. It's absolutely spectacular. It's my favorite tournament of the year. We made the shootout last year. We were just a little bit shy this year. Our last match, it was back and forth. We would have had to have beat them. Like I said, we would have had to run it up on them to be able to have a shot, and we couldn't do it, and they ended up beating us. So we – another thing that this hurt us, but I think it hurt everybody. They took the, and I think it's because they've been having some trouble with people, like maybe out of town or like the guests or whatever, fudging handicaps, things like that. So they took your lowest handicap over the last 6 months, which was, I'm going the opposite way. So I'm playing worse. So like I'm going up. And so I had to play down, and my dad's kind of, you know, kind of in the same boat. He's a little bit more steady than me, but you know what? Everybody had that. So everybody was playing at a score. So unless you were literally getting better every day and your lowest score, your lowest handicap was like last week when they pulled the handicaps, like everybody had that same deal. So it just kind of is what it is. But I hope everybody's club does something similar. So it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I do say the only thing that I would only change on y'all's rules and regulations is I think you should be able to play in both member guests.
Well, we're only doing one now. We're not doing two anymore.
Oh, you're not doing two anymore?
I think there may be like a 1 day member guest, but it's not going to be any, like, it's just a 1 day thing, like a 1 day tournament. So this is the only big one that they're going to have from now on. So. But anyway, a lot of fun.
That's
this
awesome
weekend.
Stuff, man. Yeah. I love it.
It was a lot of fun this weekend. So I'm sure there'll be some other stuff pop up to talk about the rest of the week. But I think that's going to be it for tonight. So
maybe it will come out why Rory missed this weekend.
We're going to talk
about still dead silent on why that happened.
Very silent. Docked him 3 mil. Like, it's no big deal. But,
that's not enough.
We'll talk about that probably on Wednesday, but. Y'all have a great start to your week, and hopefully the weather's nice where you are, and maybe you'll get to play some golf, a little midweek golf round. That'd be great.
Beautiful week this week, Kyle.
Beautiful
week.
Let's try to make it happen. But anyway, y'all have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk again soon. It's episode 281 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.